inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. What a way to make your day. Sharon Kay is on the way. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. What a way to make your day. Sharon Kay is on the way.
Hi, this is Harold Moses Love Jr., pastor of Lee Chapel AME Church, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
Oh, thank you, Real. I love you. I do. Good morning, Nashville, and all the most preciouses around, y'all. I'm talking to you. I'm looking out the window as I say it. It is not bad outside.
No, it's a pretty, it's a beautiful morning. Beautiful.
I mean, in terms of the temp and all, it's, you know, pleasant surprise. You know, some people already know it because they're percolating and walking the dog or getting their morning exercise in, jog or whatever. But it's nice. I mean, that's amazing. Considering how it's been, July was no joke. Mm-hmm. Bye, July. Bye. Oh, man, that July was hot. I guess every July is hot, but that one seemed pretty.
Yeah, that's true.
The humidity was way, way, way up. So there was no sense in trying to have a hairstyle at all. It's just, and nobody's really styling right now anyway.
Well,
who?
You know, they some folk, you know, in the kitchen, got their friends coming over.
And? They got to get dressed up for them.
I just saw on the front page of the Yahoo News where in New York they were cracking down on parties.
Oh, you mean house parties?
Yeah. So somebody's doing some business somewhere.
Well, but those are house parties. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, a few people hanging out for some dips and chips in the kitchen. Now, that's a whole different thing. Those people are coming to a pate. And, you know, I don't feel optimistic anymore about the pandemic because people aren't going to act right. They're just not going to do it. You know, from top to bottom, you know, from leadership to the community of faith, to medical, some medical, you know, that woman, the doctors for Trump. I mean, it's just people won't get it. They just will not get it. I mean, I'm like, okay, we're going to be in pandemic in 2021.
What does that Old Testament teach us about leadership?
Bad leadership will get you killed. Mm-hmm. When the king is good...
When there is no vision, the people perish, and there is no vision for the United States, at least not for us.
Well, when leadership
is lacking,
is bad, then you can't expect there to be any good result.
The people cry. I've got to find that scripture.
Well, the rocks done cried and hollered and screamed and got the Holy Ghost. The rocks did, but
still, some people saying he's doing a great job.
No, I'm not even going to talk about him. I'm just going to talk about house parties. Yeah. Okay, you brought the, and, you know, just some of the stuff.
But it stems from, again, people not taking it serious and not implementing a plan that says, let's deal with this. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just like, man.
Because it's human nature want to,
we're
talking
about 8 months later, and you still, you know, like, but I'm going to squeeze in one last, get my freak on. I mean, it's, you know, I'm just, it's hard, okay? Because I like to be optimistic and positive and up. But so help me, some of this stuff, you know, it's just, well, I'm just like, Father, I know Father sees it and knows it and knows what how it's going to turn out way before now. But I'm just saying, you know, it's just times he probably like, mm-hmm. No, I don't send y'all. And after that, I don't know. And you still, okay. So I'm just saying, you know, it's like, Lord, Lord. Anyway, because I know that California has exceeded 500,000 cases. And that is, you know, I have family out there. I'm just like, every day the phone ring, you know, the phone rings, I'm like, please don't let it have one of them area codes on it. It's just, you know, it's stressful worrying about your family all over. When you see people just wholly and totally being irresponsible.
Yeah.
And I'm glad a long time ago, I had to train my mind so I wouldn't, you know, I could deal with not being with a crowd and people and all that. You really got to train your brain because a lot of people are having problems with that right now and are so willing to roll the dice because they just want to be around other human beings. So, you know, it took a little while to do that, especially after my kids grew up and it was an empty house syndrome thing. Mm-hmm. That one was, you know, and then it was divorce the husband thing. Hallelujah. And then it was a time when it was hard. So, you know, I do understand, but I had to work on that. I had to train my brain that, you know, it's going to be all right and just find something to do. And I got so much to do now at the house, not funny. So I don't know. Everybody's in different places and different junctures. But it just is so, I know the healthcare people are just about to pull their hair completely out of their heads.
Yeah.
They have to be. You know, the harder they try and fight for our lives, the harder people try to just say, I don't care. And, you know, this is just... So anyway, I'm gonna work on it today. I'm gonna be trying to be optimistic. I'm like, oh, la la la. But I just wanted to say that because, you know, it's just constant. And to see the bus downtown full of, you know, people riding and, you know, partying and all. And you're like, no. And not having a care in the world, you know what I'm saying? It's like stuff like that. It just, you know, not even a centimeter of a concern. Just let me just go do me. Well, let's talk weather. Ooh, hurricane.
Yeah, slamming Florida.
Man.
And the Bahamas.
Yeah, that Bahamas is getting, you know, beat down.
Every year.
Oh, my. And, you know, just, they just catching it. They always do, though. I guess when you live there, you know that's going to be one of the things that you're just going to have to deal with, as well as the coast of Florida.
Yeah.
But Esai is, my grandson's name is Elias. I keep wanting to call the hurricane Elias.
Yeah.
Because he's in these two. And he can be a baby hurricane because he can just tear some stuff up as little two-year-old toddlers do. But that thing is really, I don't know, I think we might see some rain. You know, usually when they rinse out, they wring themselves out, they usually drop something here over us. So I would not be at all surprised if when it just fizzles out and comes to an end, that we don't get some kind of increase of rain or something to that degree. Let's see what we got here as far as the weather is concerned for today. The sun will be with us most of today, about 85. That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is not bad at all. Partly cloudy tonight. 67. And we are back to rain chances both tomorrow and Tuesday. We're staring 40% in the eye tomorrow and 30 Tuesday. And but we look like if we get through those couple of days, we're rain free. And that means everybody's grass is going to grow. and the landscape to say amen. Mm-hmm. That's job security right there. And they are on the case too. Let's see. We're not, these temps are not bad up until Thursday, and it eases up to almost 90. Mm-hmm. But mid 80s, I can work with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can work with that. So currently, we have some clouds and occasional peaks of sun in the city, and 68 degrees. How was your big weekend?
It was okay. I didn't do too much. Yeah.
Oh, you laid low.
Yeah. Didn't do too much.
Now, I got a question to ask mm-hmm. you. You know, I've been knowing you since you was a toddler, almost toddler. Do you think you could handle the pandemic better by yourself or better because you're married?
That's a tough question.
I know.
I'm not exactly sure.
I mean, in terms of being able to entertain yourself where you wouldn't go buck wild and do all kind of things, you know what I'm saying?
I think that it depends on your age mm-hmm. and your maturity. Because if you are younger, and I'm not saying that this, but I think in terms of maturity, mm-hmm. You are more inclined to want to go out and socialize mm-hmm. and hang out or do something, as they always say, I gotta do. And I think if you're a little more chronologically mature, you recognize that, at least you should recognize that.
Well, even if you're not older, because yeah. I know someone in their 20s
yeah.
that aren't interested
yeah.
in, you know.
Yeah, I said maturity. I think maturity plays a huge role in it. And how, and also how you probably consume news, I think, plays mm. a big role in it. I find that people who are willing to take more chances, irrespective of their ages, and some, mm. at sometimes don't consume enough information mm. before doing some of the things that they do.
Well, we're talking about 8 months into this thing.
I know.
You haven't consumed any information
birds
yet.
Birds of a really? Feather flock together.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. But I mean, seriously, if on all this length of time, they don't know.
They probably know, but they're willing to take that chance.
Well, that is mm-hmm. insane. Okay, that's a definition of nuts.
Because this would be those individuals that were going to Florida, mm-hmm. hanging out on the beach, and then when the reporters ask, "Aren't you afraid of getting COVID?" They say, "Well, you know, I'm young. Oh no, I'm not afraid." And then the other guy who says, "Well, the president's not wearing a mask. I'm not worried about it. He's not worried about it. I'm not worried about it." So not only are they not worried about themselves, but they're not worried about, you know, catching it and then taking it home and giving it to whoever's in that house. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing. And then their parents, you know, do you know that your child is hanging out at the beach?
I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about them.
I know. But this alludes to that because I.
No, I mean, as it relates to having mm-hmm. another person to talk to have meals with, mm-hmm. for companionship.
It helps.
I'm talking about that.
Yeah, it helps. But again, if I were single, then I would probably try to live. I would live life as a single person. Mm-hmm. But then in terms of companionship, for me, it would have to be somebody who had who was like-minded mm-hmm. in terms of safety, in terms of precaution, in terms of understanding that we both understand.
So you feel the
nature.
Kind of person you are, you would change your lifestyle a little bit. You would tone it down.
Yeah, I would still be in the house. I would still do okay. these things, but in terms of human nature, in terms of companionship, mm-hmm. I would have to speak with someone who was not going to put me at risk. Right. I would have to, through conversation, okay, yeah, they're wearing a mask, they're at home, they're trying to be safe, then we can have a conversation together. And that, but I would not, I can't be at home trying to protect myself and then talking to somebody who's out running around, well, going to parties, doing So yeah. I guess that's the needle I'm trying to thread right there.
Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah,
that's also a good answer to save you at home when you get home.
Yeah.
Oh, honey, you know, so, I love being with you.
And so, you know, and yesterday was Regina's birthday, so we did go and grab something.
Good for you.
Yeah, Mexican restaurant. We sat outside.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And y'all should have, you know, had a beautiful day yesterday.
Yeah.
Good,
yeah.
Good, very good. Well, I mean, you know, I just thought I'd ask because, you know, I was talking to with somebody I know about that subject, and she said that dating now is out.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
I'm not shocked. But this is going to be
around.
People
are still meeting each other.
Yeah,
though.
And that's what I'm saying. If this is going to be around for a while, then you have to find somebody who values life and safety just as much as you do.
Right.
So that you can continue to still date, and I still see people getting married and doing things. Yeah. Just if two people can, if they understand where they
but
are.
But I mean,
and
meeting
masks,
during this
I
time.
Think you can still do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's good, because some people have met during this time. And I say dig further than Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay. Dig down and make sure.
I think in some ways this shows you people's characters in ways that you didn't before.
Definitely.
Because now, you know, you get to sort of see what they're doing, where they, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question one: do you wear a mask?
Yeah.
What? When no. You,
yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, there it is. Right. Yeah.
You get okay, to see. Nice to know you. Too. I'm gone. Yeah. I'm out.
It's nothing like watching a couple in a grocery store with no mask. Oh, so y'all both understand. So,
well, you know, okay, here's what's worse to me, and I'm glad you said that because I got some time to say this. Communities of color, Hispanic, Black, Native American, those are the impacted communities. We shouldn't see nobody in those communities without a mask on. Okay? If you're old and Black and you're not wearing a mask, go on back home, please. Because you just don't even make any sense being out. Somebody like Herman Cain, you got a pre-existing condition. Brother, please. You know what I'm saying? That one was just predictable.
You're out there preaching against masks.
You know, I'm just like, go home, please. Don't just, you know, some stuff just makes me just like cuckoo. And then as statistics and disparities are mentioned and discussed and researched and blotted out for decades, and then we are the biggest offenders. Really are. Well, I was just running in there right quick, saying, okay.
And so is someone else.
Yeah. You know, I got about 100 and something masks still in my car. And, you know, I am subject to say, you need some.
Here you go.
I got you covered, baby. Come here. It just doesn't make any sense. And I saw an old white lady in a grocery store. Had to be about maybe close to 80, looked like. She was like, about the only one of the people in the store with no mask on. I'm like, woman, you are old and you have no business coming out here like this. Lord, I'm like, what is up with this stuff? Whew. If you have a condition, pre-existing, first up, if you're Black, Hispanic, Indian, put them things on, would you? Lord. Some stuff we can fix ourselves. We don't have to rely on the government. Let's fix it, y'all. Fix it, Jesus. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
On the next Jazz Night in America, John Batiste and the influence of jazz musicians on late night TV.
It's important to see that jazz is still a crucial part of the band that backs the most watched late night show on television, Stephen Colbert's show.
I think it's very special as a musician because these are environments that we're not usually a part of.
That's on the next Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride.
Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
We've marched. We've protested. Now it's election time, and it's your time to make a change. The NAACP is counting on you to vote because it is important, and we need to make a difference. Early voting will continue until Saturday, August 1st. Early voting polls are open Monday through Saturday at 8 a.m. The polls close on Mondays and Fridays at 5:30 p.m., on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m., and on Wednesday and Saturday at 4:30 p.m. This message is brought to you by the NAACP Nashville branch. Let's go to the polls in record numbers. If you have problems at the polls, call 615-329-0999 to make a report.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Good morning, Nashville. And I hope that your day is most certainly going well. We're with you, percolating. I want to say hello this morning all to some global folks. After I got off the air, I think, when was it? Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I had to go in there on my desk and look at the man's name. But I got the most beautiful phone call from one of the listeners to the show listening in Dallas, and his daughter, I think, is alumni of Vanderbilt from some years, a few years back. But anyway, we had the nicest chat. He said, I've been listening to you for a while online. I was like, really? I'm like, you're kidding. He said, no. And I said, I asked him, how did he find the station? And he said he was at his daughter's graduation. And he was checking the radio dial in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And boom, there it was. And I was like, oh, that's so cool.
It is.
He said, I love the station. I said, oh, no, thank you.
And that's real love.
Yeah.
Because it takes an extra something to listen online rather than in your own city.
Definitely.
So that really speaks volumes.
Yeah. And he said, I love your show so much. I was like, well, how much? Let me sit down. Tell me. He said, I've been telling all my friends because you have good, interesting people on to talk about, you know, not just what's going on in Nashville, but you got the national perspective and different things of that nature. So I was like, oh, I love you. First, I love it. And he listens on Sunday and Wednesday. And I was like,
that's excellent.
It really is. And I also want to say thank you to our regulars and steadies that listen online in Atlanta and in Memphis. And I know I'm leaving out somewhere. And I know my Kansas comes in and out. My home people, they click over and see what Sharon Kay is saying today. Because they know me well. So, and I got to be careful, see. Because, you know, when people know you and they're listening, you got to clean it up. and some of them got my number. So, yeah, you got to clean it up. Now, 8 o'clock, speaking of Dallas, the 8 o'clock guest is Dr. Antipas L. Harris. He has a lovely new book that is entitled, Is Christianity the White Man's Religion? How the Bible is Good News for People of Color. So you're like, huh? He's the president dean of Jake's Divinity School and associate pastor of the Potter's House in Dallas. So when I say Jake's and Potter's House, you know, the man that runs it is TD.
Yeah.
So that's pretty obvious. So anyways, on the ministerial staff down there at the Potter's House in Dallas. So we'll be hearing from that gentleman coming up next hour. Well, schools back in universities are getting their plans laid.
And all over the country.
Yeah, and the students have started a little bit of trickling back to Fisk. And it was good to see a few of them. You know, they're in that shock period right now. Things are different. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are. Completely. And so I wonder how they're going to do with the quarantine thing. They got to stay in when they first get here. They can't go.
Yeah.
You know, this is when training your brain is important.
Yeah.
Because you want to go. You want to see.
And it'll be my prayer. I think it'll be simpler here than most.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a smaller school.
No question.
Fewer students. Mm-hmm. By this semester by design, and so they're back.
Well, TSU gets underway there.
Yeah, they're still trying to work it out.
August 17th is what they're saying.
2 weeks from now, yeah. They're still trying to get it together over there from what I'm hearing.
Well, that's not what they say in their press release. They say they got it together, right?
Yeah. I know a certain student who can't reach the financial aid office to get their stuff worked out.
Oh, nobody ever can, pandemic or not.
I'm just saying.
Nobody can ever reach financial aid.
Maybe they'll reach out to her.
You know, it's like trying to reach the government to get a check. Yeah. Okay, come on. You can't reach them because everybody else is as well.
Yeah.
That's the same thing we've heard for years. I mean, that's not even new. I don't know why they expect it to be different. Because I've been hearing that from the students there and here for years.
I'm just speaking on behalf of this student I know.
Oh, okay.
So,
you know, personally. So answer the phone. Hire some more staff.
Hit me up on the, you know,
Well, that's, you know.
I'm not asking for any favors. I'm just saying.
Well, don't be asking. Yes, you are. Was that an open solicitation for help?
I'm just saying, you know, in case they didn't know that, you know.
That you could call, keep calling? They need to learn that, okay?
Yeah.
There's no fix-its.
Yeah.
Let them learn you got to keep calling. Because they might have just called once and threw up their hands. They got to keep calling.
Keep
just
calling.
Like these people keep calling to get their $600 unemployment checks and all.
Man.
Okay?
That's serious.
You got to keep calling. You just can't do it one time. And ain't nobody going to hook you up.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, it's too many people to hook up, a whole lot. But that means that it's going to be more movement in this corridor here.
Yeah.
Between here and down the street.
I'd like to know if anybody, I don't know, if there's an agency that would do a study on the impact of the HBCU dollars in the city.
It's already been done.
But, I mean, at this point, with the slowdown of the students.
Well, they don't know yet.
Impact. That's what I'm saying. If there's somebody that's going to track the impact of these
they
dollars.
They won't look at everything.
Yeah. Yep.
So that they may qualify for a grant or something.
Yeah, in particular.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, we get overlooked over here. And HBCUs, the dollars that pour into the city get overlooked as well.
Well, they come in, but they come in a teaspoon instead of a heaping cup.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I mean, it just, and throwing the light on it. You know, as what I have observed from just the sheer giving and the look at the places where they have the big buildings and the names on them.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. The one who hold those presidential debates, right? Yeah.
Where might that be? But, you know, and the ones that popped up big like that all of a sudden. Wonder where that might be. Hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, you know, I mean, things are just lopsided.
Yeah.
But the more the community talks about it and holds the light to it and keeps it, conversation going, you know, people will eventually get to feeling accountable in this age of diversity. Mm-hmm. You know, let's knock down all the bias, could you?
Because these HBCU students spend a lot of money in this city.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. And they should spend more in their own community.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Instead of driving past us to go to West End, because you know they do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Merchants, restaurants, y'all know what I'm saying. Because that would certainly impact the local community.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet the churches would like for them to give, too.
Give while they're... They should have been given while they were still, still on break.
You know,
working those summer jobs.
You know. Man, I didn't have no money, man. I lived with my mama and them. So, you know, and... It just is what it is. So we'll be, TSU says the plan is to begin the fall semester August 17th with all classes held online for the first 2 weeks. So they'll be 2 weeks and then they'll be easing in just like.
So all classes online for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how they're going to start. That's, you know, August 17th is 2 weeks away.
Because that's how they ended it. All classes online.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how they're going to start. Their plan is similar to this one down here. You know, all the schools are kind of doing basically the same thing.
Which I think is the best thing to do. And so, you know, every size fits differently. But, with the size of that school, you've got to approach it differently.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Figure out who's actually enrolled, who's possibly going to, you know, come on back, who's going to stay online.
Yeah. And they got the committees and the groups like every other university does, where they're sitting and having the meetings and determining guidelines and different things of that nature. So the pattern is about the same everywhere. And we'll just see as this influx of people and energy comes in.
We'll be able to tell, that's for sure.
Oh, yes. Particularly
at those red lights.
Yeah.
Trying to get home. Well, trying to get out of this part of town.
No, I'm saying with the numbers, with the city of Nashville's numbers. In terms of the virus, because that's the place where it's gonna reflect right there. So, you know, we will certainly have to see how things develop as far as that's concerned. Because some may be from here. You know, we have had a lot of Memphis students before, and you know, one or two from other regions of the state, but. You know, currently the governor is saying that every Tennessee county is showing unacceptable rates of COVID-19 transmission. So I'm just, you know, trying to just be thinking it's going to definitely have a major shifting and et cetera. So, and then some of the county schools and school systems will be doing likewise. So we'll definitely hope that everybody is not objecting to the kids wearing masks if they are going back. And use your heads, for goodness sakes. And don't be so silly about this stuff, because people's lives are at stake. Let me take a glance at these headlines before I run out of headline time. An attempt to get some people with out-of-state felony convictions permission to participate in Tennessee's upcoming August 6th primary election has come to a halt. Davidson County Chancellor Ellen Hobbs Lyle on Friday denied a temporary injunction request that would have allowed out-of-state felons to vote in the primary as long as they had their voting rights restored in the state of their convictions. Boy, folks is really trying to throw a hurdle up left and right. You know, these people have already paid their debt, for crying out loud. Just to keep punishing and punishing them. It just, it's cruel. It just is. Let's see what else we got here. The Tennessee Supreme Court has released a plan to reduce racial disparities in the state's judicial system. WPLN reports that the court's Access to Justice Commission released a two-year plan Thursday to reduce discrimination and racial disparities. The commission has been around since 2009 to support underprivileged Tennesseans in the court system, but shifted focus last month to address racism head on. The commission said the recent events show a need for dialogue that leads to a meaningful change. And beginning this fall, the court plans to host regular race-related virtual training sessions, and the commission plans to hold virtual town halls and a speaker series. It certainly is going to take longer than a one-shot training to work on the biases and the things that exist inside of people's DNA for hundreds of years in this country. It's going to take a long time. The coronavirus pandemic is entering a new month, meaning Americans struggling amid the economic fallout once again have to worry about paying their rent. Many who lost jobs months ago are already behind on payments. Now an extra $600 in weekly unemployment benefits that help many pay their bills is expiring. Has expired. It's a crying shame. A federal moratorium on evictions also is lapsing, while Congress is bogged down in disagreement over a new round of aid. The Associated Press reconnected with renters first interviewed as they faced payments in April. 4 months later, some have returned to work. Some found landlords willing to negotiate, while others are still looking for relief. Man, when you got kids and all this stuff to wear, that's a lot.
It is scary.
That's a lot. It's compounded. Yeah. You know, it really is.
And I know people are in line all over the country, but when you are the majority leader like Mitch McConnell, and you in your city, your state has been impacted hard, and people are out there in lines, and you allow this stuff to expire. I mean, it just sort of speaks to the ability to just ignore common person.
Look, here's reality.
Mm-hmm.
He has ignored them just about the entire time he's been there.
Yeah.
And they keep reelecting him.
Exactly.
So I'm just saying, obviously, the folks there aren't getting it.
Rand Paul.
Yeah, a lot of other people.
Yeah.
They get it, but the people that live in that state.
Yeah.
That continue to vote for him, knowing he's not looking out for their best interests while he's lining his own pockets.
Yeah, he's rich.
I mean,
his wife is rich.
Lining. And shining his shoes with money, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, while that happens, you know,
that
needs to be on the minds of those people while they're standing in those lines. Yeah. Okay?
If I'm the Democratic Party, I would have had ads running weeks ago. Because the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, passed their bill, I think she said, 10 weeks ago?
At least.
10 weeks ago.
Or something.
And here we are, the Senate, still arguing, bickering back and forth with each other. Then they'll pass something this week. Then they'll dump it on the Democrats and blame them and try to play this game and say, well, you know, y'all are holding up aid for the American people. And then we have to get into that.
It's called, as we go to
posturing.
No, it's called kicking the can down the road. But the cans are the American people.
Yeah.
Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Wednesday afternoon at 4, news from the community and the traffic report. Then get an update on what to prepare for this school year with Metro Schools Director Dr. Adrian Battle. And at 5 o'clock, more news from the community. Then past guest Howard J. Ross returns to discuss his book, Everyday Bias. He's an internationally recognized expert on diversity, leadership, and organizational change.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. and every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
This message is sponsored by the Equity Alliance.
COVID-19 has ravaged black and brown communities. Our loved ones are disproportionately getting sick and dying at alarming rates. Thousands of workers are unemployed and small businesses are struggling to reopen.
Now, more than ever, we need our fair share of relief funding. I am Charlene Oliver.
And I am Tequila Johnson,
co-founders of the Equity Alliance.
Help us tell Nashville city leaders what you and your family need now to get through the pandemic. Go to ourfairsharenash.com today and take the survey.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK, historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And this is going up to 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock's book is released just not too long ago. Is Christianity the White Man's Religion? How the Bible is Good News for People of Color. And I'll be chatting with the President Dean of Jake's Divinity School and Associate Pastor of the Potter's House in Dallas. Did you know that Bishop Jakes had a divinity school?
I did not.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess that would be kind of like
But it makes sense, though.
It does. Yeah. I guess that would be like the training ground before you get on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
At the Potter's House. I mean, you know, next step.
Or going into ministry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go practice preaching in front of these
people.
So, that's interesting. Anyway, Here's what's continuing to happen. Let me stay in Tennessee for just another minute. Nashville, out of Nashville. Tyson Foods experts to create 230 more jobs and invest $87.6 million in an expansion in this state. The State Department of Community and Economic Development says the food processing giant expects the new jobs at the Union City plant by the end of the year. Nowhere really near here. Tyson currently employs more than 1,600 in Obion County. Tyson also operates in Goodlettsville, New Bern, Shelbyville, and Humboldt, with more than 5,500 employees statewide. The Union City plant has added 40,000 square feet and new production lines since earlier this year. It's the company's second expansion in Union City since it announced an $80 million investment there in 2017. So Tennessee, a lot of chicken, huh? Mm-hmm. Y'all tearing it up. They got to hire people and expand. You know this is the hot chicken capital, so y'all can't.
Yes, it is. Nashville hot chicken,
mm-hmm.
right?
I was eating so much of it, I had to put myself on pause. You know, I'm like,
oh, Nashville God. Hot.
Yeah, I'm like, just put myself on pause just for a minute. Because everybody is not the same. The taste is not the same. So I'm like, okay, source. Going back to source. I thought I'd give a couple of places a try.
Mm-hmm.
Nah. Source. Originator. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. For my taste. Anyway. Florida's East Coast has started to see the first bands of heavy rain from Isaias. You know, I can't help but say that because of my great grandson. His name is Elias.
Yeah.
And it's spelled similar to this. Every time I look at this word. So I'm going to call the hurricane instead of Isaias. I'm going to call it Isaias. So I can think of my great-grandson, I guess. The officials there are watching the approaching storm with a wary eye because it threatens to snarl efforts to contain the coronavirus in areas where cases are surging. The storm, as of yesterday afternoon, is expected to continue to bring heavy rain and flooding as it barrels toward Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis said Floridians should start seeing impacts overnight and warn residents to take the storm seriously. The hurricane is expected to travel along the state's east coast throughout today and then track up or just off the eastern seaboard earlier in the week. So after the destruction and all from the Bahamas and everything,
mm-hmm.
headed straight for
Florida.
Yeah, straight. Wow.
What time is it expected to hit to make landfall?
Well, it just says it's supposed to travel to the east coast. I mean,
wow.
Up the east coast of Florida.
Yeah.
Today.
Keep traveling.
All day.
I wonder if we're going to get any of that rain.
Well, that's what I was talking about early.
Yeah.
Because we usually, it's like a towel getting ringed out every time over here.
Yeah.
We get something, you know.
It'll come through Georgia.
It just dies.
Through Chattanooga, through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we get rain. So, and yesterday it got windy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it rained every hour yesterday. I don't know about where you were.
It didn't. It sprinkled.
Man, I was cutting my bushes. And I'm like, I've been trying to get these bushes cut for 2 months. And it's, you know, I was out there for a while. And then I felt a couple of drops. And then it just came down like unbelievably hard. And
mm-hmm.
the wind was blowing. And I didn't, I said, oh, Lord, the sky black and all. I'm like, oh, my God, there's time to take shelter, Lord, because it just came up so fast, you know, and that's how storms do.
It just pooped, yep.
Yeah, I was like, I got to get in the house. You know, I dropped them bushes down on the ground. You know, I was, you know, had a little stack going. I'm like, I'm out. I am out. So, you know, they did that three or four times in my area yesterday. So it was an umbrella day for sure. Today's a kind of the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, the vote out of Washington, the vote to renominate President Donald Trump is set to be conducted in private later this month without members of the news media present. A spokeswoman for the Republican National Convention cites the coronavirus for restricting press coverage from the August 24th vote in Charlotte, North Carolina. Nominating conventions are traditionally meant to be media bonanzas, as political parties seek to leverage the attention the events draw to spread their message to as many voters as possible. Ooh, we can't take that message no more. Lord, we just can't help us. Jesus. I'm sure we'll see 1,000 tweets, so they'll talk about 1,000 tweets. And there'll be videos galore online, so you'll be there and online.
The wise.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the folks in that room are going to be videoing and everything else, too.
Yep.
You know, and you know Trump is. You know, he's going to put himself on full display. If the GOP decision stands, it will mark the first party-nominating convention in modern history to be closed to reporters. Well, then they can tell the story.
Of course.
They can tell the story how they want.
The Russian Russian reporters will be in there,
of
though.
Of course.
The Americans won't.
Well, you know, I'm just, we'll see if Fox is in there. Because, you know, hey, or Breitbart. Let's see, let me go to Detroit right quick. Many black voters are skeptical of voting by mail, even as states seek to expand that option during the coronavirus pandemic. Decades of racism and voter disenfranchisement are at the heart of the uneasy choice facing black voters, a key voting group for the Democratic Party. They've grown more skeptical after problems during this year's primaries when thousands of voters didn't receive their absentee ballots or had them rejected. Ironically, suspicion of mail-in voting aligns with the views of President Donald Trump, whom many black voters want out of office. Some community leaders and political strategists say they will still want mail-in voting as an option, and it's not inevitable that black voters will shun it. So we'll see how that works, because I voted last weekend, and it was painless, you know. And maybe it's because I didn't go the first couple of days, but it was painless and clean and distanced, and you don't touch anything.
Yep, you just use that straw.
And the pen you sign your name with, they give it to you. And they have on gloves and masks and, you know, shields and all that kind of stuff. And hand sanitizer everywhere. And it was hand sanitizer in the front, back, side. It was everywhere. And I just, you know, I had my mask on. Everybody around had masks on. We, you know, everybody was respecting each other's space. And it wasn't all, I wasn't freaked out by any measure. I was just, you know, I was praying, God, when's the best time to go? Because I got to go. And I just wanted to go because I wanted to see. I didn't want to hear about the process. I wanted to see. And, it, you know, maybe we're fortunate in that we have enough places that we haven't been completely suppressed here, not completely, that we have enough places we can spread out and go. So, you know, I just, we'll see as things develop. And You know, it just doesn't even make any sense to keep throwing roadblocks and hurdles up. So obviously the vote is more important than people are giving themselves mental credit for, because it's obvious that decades and decades of trying to keep you from doing it. Duh. I mean, really, y'all. Could you not please let this time pass and not do anything just to get you ready for November? Those are some important seeds, statewide and local.
Yes.
That really, really need to be taken care
of. And there are some people that really need to not return to the Senate.
Yeah. Well, and the school board members and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's important stuff.
Yeah.
Because who are you going to complain to?
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell, he's not taking no calls from you.
No, he's not.
You're not a donor, baby.
He'll never hear of your call. Somebody, one of them staffers will weed that out.
Mm-hmm. It goes in file 13.
Yeah, over there.
Right. No, trash can. That's where
Shredder.
Right. That's where that goes. It's a Democrat from Tennessee. Oh, trash. Okay, fine. We won't call you. We'll call Congressman Cooper then. Okay, now. Because he will take our calls. Because he gave his number out on
the air. Yeah, he did. Even in the cloakroom, right? Even in the cloakroom.
Yeah.
He called from the cloakroom.
That's going to go down in the annals of my history as one of the coolest interviews.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Anyway. And lastly, before we go to the very tip top of the hour, who will be first in line for COVID-19 vaccine? Ask yourself that now. U.S. health authorities hope by late next month to have some draft guidelines, or guidance rather, on how the ration initial doses, but it's a vexing decision, I'm sure. National Institutes of Health Director Francis Collins says not everybody is going to like the answer. Okay. Two government advisory groups are debating priorities. Clearly, somebody's not going to like the answer. They're expected to include certain health workers and other essential workers. But who's most essential?
Exactly.
Police say them. Healthcare workers say them. Firefighters say them. Mm-hmm. Grocery store workers say them.
Say them.
So, also a priority are those most vulnerable to infection, like older adults. But vaccines don't always work in the elderly as well as in the young. So, yes, that's going to be a jockeying, like unbelievable style of jockeying. Who goes first? And if you don't go for this one, then you're anti-American. You're not a patriot. Oh, Lord. You never stop. I know the Pledge of Allegiance, and I have a little tiny flag. My daddy used to fly a flag. He was a veteran. I know the Declaration of Independence, Constitution. So, I mean, and I can sing America the Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know. Okay, so don't tell me I don't belong in this country. I ain't here, but, you know, so we're not having it. We are not having it.
Yep.
That's out. I'm not a patriot. You don't believe in God. On that one, let me go to break, because you know, don't you tell a black woman that she don't have, is like, don't love Jesus.
You don't went
I could call up 27 of them today. They'd be like, they said, what?
Who's doing most of the praying in some of these churches?
Oh, Lord. Who's doing most of the everything? The giving and taking care of the babies and the preachers and all that.
You're opening it up now.
I know. So I'm about to make my phone ring over there. Okay, Sarah Kay, this stereotype. But it's true. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.